We have Alice and Bob in Distant Labs, and Alice wants to transmit some message M to Bob, but they only have access to some noisy communication channel. So we can separate this into like the two prominent problem in like communication theory. So first, if the message that Alice wants to send to Bob like has low information content, we could try to compress it to a smaller message. And also, the other like problem here is, well, we want to send some message across some noisy communication channel in such a way that, well, Bob can get this message without any error. So like, you can separate this into two types of coding. So like compression coding for compressing the message, and then like error correcting code for transmitting messages across noisy channel without like in such a way that we can decode correctly. So this is closely related to information theory. So question here is, how can we quantify information? So an often good way to quantify information is Shannon's entropy. So for some source X, which like emits messages according to some prior probability distribution P of X, the Shannon entropy is given by like H of X is the sum over all possible messages X of the probability of message X times logarithm of the probability of message X. So minus the log of PX here is like the surprisal. So if this the probability of some message X is really high, well, you wouldn't be surprised if you like the source actually emits this message. But if the probability is really low and the source emits a message with low probability, then you'll be surprised a lot. So you can see this as like the expectation over the surprisal. So the operational significance of the one operational significance of the entropy is, well, it characterizes the optimal compression rate for some source X. So what I mean by this is, well, in the asymptotic limit, if you allow the source to emit a lot of messages, so a first message X1 distributed according to PX, a second one, and so on, up to time T, say, and then you encode by block all of these messages, well, the best rate that you can hope for is the Shannon entropy. So there are a lot of derived quantities. So you can consider the conditional entropy of X given Y. So this characterizes like a best rate of compression for source X when you're given some side information Y. So there's also mutual information between like random variable X and random variable Y. So mutual information can characterize the noisy channel's capacity. So the capacity of a noisy channel is the best communication rate that you can hope to achieve over this noisy communication channel. So information theory has been successfully extended to the quantum setting. So in the quantum setting, instead of sending classical messages, well, we might hope to send quantum messages. So for example, the state of a spin qubit. And we might hope to transmit it across some noisy quantum channel, M. So in this quantum setting, we can quantify information in terms of von Neumann's quantum entropy. So for some state rho A that has spectral decomposition like this with eigenvalue lambda I, the von Neumann entropy is just the Shannon entropy of these eigenvalues. So you can compute it as minus the trace of rho A times log rho A. So, and once again, well, von Neumann's entropy characterize the optimal rate for source compression for quantum source. We can also derive a quantity from the von Neumann entropy in formal analogy to the classical one. So for example, we can define conditional mutual information in the same way as the classical one. So it's the von Neumann entropy of the joint system between two systems minus the entropy of the system conditional. But in the quantum case, well, conditional entropy can be negative. So this is not the case classically. So we get some surprising result. And in particular, like minus the conditional entropy characterize the quantum capacity of noisy quantum channels. But in the quantum setting, like we can be interested in noisy channels capacity for transmitting quantum information, But there are many other capacity that we can be interested in. So we could be interested in a noisy quantum channel's capacity for transmitting classical messages instead. We could also be interested in a noisy quantum channel's capacity to transmit messages when we allow for free pre-shared entanglement between the receiver and the sender. So in this sense, quantum information theory is richer than classical information theory. So now, going back to the classical setting, let me introduce the interactive communication theory setting. So we'll be most interested in communication complexity of bipartite tasks. So once again, the setting is that we have Alice and Bob in distant labs. So Alice is given some input X, Bob's given some input Y, and we'll say that you want to compute some function f of their joint input, so some function f of x and y. And they want to compute this function by minimizing the amount of communication that they exchange. So in order to do that, we allow them to pre-share some randomness, and we also allow them to have a private randomness, such that at the end, both Alice and Bob can output the function value. So in the classical setting, there are many representations that are quite useful in this interactive setting. So, well, the first most basic one is the protocol transcript. So given some protocol and some fixed input X, Y, and randomness R, the protocol transcript is just the sequence of these messages sent in the protocol. So another quite powerful representation is the protocol tree representation. So we can view communication protocol, once again, when the input and randomness is fixed, as some complete binary tree where, well, the protocol starts at the root, and then each node in the tree corresponds to some possible partial transcript. So say, for example, that during the protocol, message 100 have been exchanged. Well, the node corresponding to this partial transcript would be this node. And then, well, the final transcript of the protocol corresponds to the leaf in this protocol tree. Good. So back to the coding problem that we'll be interested in. Well, first, we can consider the interactive analog of noisy coding. So the question we ask here is, what if we want to implement highly interactive communication protocol, but these are designed to run over noiseless channel, but if Alice and Bob only have access to some noisy channel? So can we still achieve positive communication rate? And can we tolerate positive adversarial error rates? We can also consider the interactive variant of protocol compression. So the question we ask then is, well, if our protocol does not convey much information, can we compress it so that we can reduce the amount of communication that we have to send? So we can ask this question when, well, we want to run the protocol many times in parallel. Or we can also ask the question when we want to run a single copy of the protocol. So, well, first question to ask then is, well, how can we quantify the amount of information conveyed by our protocol? So first, in the noisy interactive communication setting, well, the first strategy we might want to try is, well, we already know that if we only want to transmit messages from one point to the other, there exist good error-correcting codes. So, well, we might hope to keep the same protocol structure as before. And every time Alice and Bob communicate over this noisy channel, we can encode the communication into some error-correcting code designed for unidirectional data transmission. This will work in some regime, but well, not in the regime we're interested in. So consider, for example, the worst case interaction when, well, in the interactive protocol, Alice and Bob exchange one bit back and forth. Then in such a case, even if the noisy channel is, well, as random noise, as the length of the protocol increase, well, in order to not have error at the end, we'll add to also increase the size of the error correcting code. And then the communication rate will go to zero, and we don't want that. And even worse, in the case of adversarial noise, well, we cannot even tolerate a constant fraction of channel error. So the reason for this is that, well, as the length of the protocol increased, the adversary could just choose to put all of his allowed corruption in the first round. And then, well, if the first round fails, then the rest of the protocol is useless in this interactive setting. However, well, in the classical setting, it is known since the work of Shulman in the 90s that there exists simulation protocol that achieves simultaneously positive communication rate and that can tolerate positive adversarial error rate. So the construction is based on three codes, which are specific error correcting code designed for this interactive setting. And well, they are closely linked to this protocol tree representation that we discussed earlier and that we don't have in a quantum setting. Then for the other problem of protocol compression, when we want to, well, compress protocol that do not convey much information. So an appropriate notion of information for interactive protocol is the information cost defined in this way. So assume we have some prior distribution mu on the input x and y on the listen bulb side, and we run some protocol pi, then the information cost is defined as the amount of information, like the mutual information between the protocol transcript pi and the input x of Alice, conditioned on the input y of Bob and the shared randomness, plus, well, the same thing on the other way. So the amount of mutual information between the protocol transcript pi and Bob's input, given Alice's input and the shared randomness. So, well, we can view this intuitively as like the amount of information that each party learns about the other party's input from the protocol transcript at the end of the protocol. So since we're interested in complexity of tasks, for example, computing a function f on input mu up to some error epsilon, well, we're just going to take the best possible protocol achieving the lowest possible information cost on this input mu that achieves such a task. So there are many properties that we would want from an information cost. So the classical information cost satisfies this property. So it is an additive quantity, meaning that, well, if you have two tasks, T1 and T2, that you want to run in parallel, well, their information costs when they run in parallel is just equal to the information costs of T1 run separately from T2 and plus the information costs of T2 run separately. So it also satisfies this important property that it's a lower bound on communication. So the information complexity of a task is a direct lower bound on the communication complexity of a task. And well, it also has an operational interpretation as, well, the amortized communication complexity. What's the amortized communication complexity? Well, it's just the limit when the limit of the communication cost per copy when you run T copies of the task T in parallel. So you can view it as the asymptotic limit of like how much communication you need to implement such a task in parallel. So this was proved by Braverman and Rao in 2011. And well, this information complexity also is quite useful in classical communication complexity to prove lower bound on communication complexity. And well, one of the reasons for that is that it satisfies an exact direct sum property on composite function, which are built from simpler component function. So what I mean by that is, well, take the example of the disjointness function, well, which is defined as, well, the complement of the disjointness is the following. So say you have some set, then Alice is given some subset as input, Bob is given some subset as input, and they want to know, well, do their set intersect? So you can view this disjointness function as, well, a sequence of n. So you can take a look at the first element in the set and look, is this element in Alice's set, and is it in Bob's set, and so on for each of the element in the set. So the information complexity of disjointness satisfies this property that it's equal to n times the information complexity of the n function. So we can reduce information complexity of these like large function to information complexity of these simple like one bit function. So now getting to subject of interest, so interactive quantum information theory. So I'll first discuss some recent work on noisy interactive quantum communication. So this is joint work with Gilles Brassard, Ashwin Nayak, Alain Tap, and Falganger. And then I'll discuss also the analog of protocol compression. So and a new notion of quantum information costs. So this is a merge of these two archive preprint. Good. So the model of communication that we'd be interested in is, well, the quantum communication complexity model. So there are mainly two study models for quantum communication complexity. The first one was introduced by Yao, and it's the following. So Alice, we once again have Alice and Bob in Descent Labs. And they're allowed to have some quantum register, but they have to initialize them locally. So we do not allow Alice and Bob to have free shared entanglement. But once the protocol starts, well, they can communicate quantum information back and forth. The second model is the model of Cleveland-Berman. And in this model, we allow Alice and Bob to pre-share some large entangled state, psi. But once the protocol starts, we only allow them to exchange classical bits. However, due to teleportation protocol, this model is at least as strong as this one up to a factor of 2. But the other implication is not known due to the fact that we allow for some large entangled state here. So why are we interested in quantum communication complexity of classical function? Well, exponential separation are known in quantum communication complexity. So for example, there exists function for which the classical communication complexity is exponentially higher than the quantum communication complexity. And also, some function, well, and interaction is also a powerful resource in quantum communication complexity and classical one also. The fact that, well, there exists some function such that their communication complexity is exponentially lower if we allow for a single more round of communication. So, well, studying highly interactive quantum protocol is well-motivated problem. So let's first consider the problem of noisy interactive quantum communication. So the problem we want to study here is the following. So you have Alice and Bob in Descent Lab. And well, they have some highly interactive quantum protocol that they want to implement. This protocol is designed to run over a noiseless quantum channel, but they only have access to a noisy quantum channel. So we're once again interested in, well, can we simulate these protocol over a noisy channel such that we achieve positive communication rate and also such that we can tolerate positive adversarial error rate? So let me make more precise what I mean by communication and error rate here. So this is well studied in the unidirectional data transmission setting. So the setting here is the following. So we once again have Alice and Bob in Descent Lab. And Alice wants to transmit some large quantum state psi to Bob, but they only have access to some noisy quantum channel. So before transmitting psi, Alice will first encode it using some quantum error correcting code, transmit it to the noisy channel, and then Bob will decode it and hopefully get psi back as the output. The communication rate in this setting would be, well, the ratio between the number of logical qubit in psi to the number of physical qubit in the quantum error correcting code. So this is the communication rate. And the error rate would be the ratio between the number of channel which are corrupted by the adversary to the total number of channel used. Now in this interactive setting, well, we also want to study communication rate and error rate. So what would these be? So given some noiseless protocol that you want to implement over a noisy channel with a simulation protocol, the communication rate would be the ratio between the number of logical qubit which are sent in the original noiseless protocol to the number of physical qubit which are sent in the simulation protocol. And the error rate would be the ratio between the number of adversarial error to the total number of channel use in the simulation protocol. So we might hope to adapt the classical strategy for achieving these results in the classical setting, but we immediately run into some problems. So first one is that, well, classical information cannot be copied. So let me just draft a bit what's the like high-level strategy for a classical simulation. So remember this protocol tree view that we had of protocol? So the strategy classically would be, well, Alice and Bob would try to like evolve the simulation in the protocol tree. They should agree on this path. And whenever they realize there's been some error so that their path diverge, they will try to go back to the last agreement point. So trying to follow this strategy in the quantum setting, well, we immediately have some problem. First, because classical information can be copied. And so if some classical message is destroyed by noise in the channel, well, we can just resend it at a later point. It's not a problem. But if we send quantum messages, well, we cannot do that because of the no-cloning theorem of quantum theory. So in the Yao model, remember that communication is quantum. So we run into this problem. But then in the Cleaverman model, communication is classical. So we might ought to be able to adapt the classical strategy here. But another implicit assumption in classical simulation protocol is that we can go back to previous point in the simulation. But here, if a measurement is performed on the large entangled state at the beginning based on wrong classical information, well, the party cannot go back to an earlier point in the protocol because, well, they've performed some wrong measurement, so they actually destroyed the entanglement and cannot go back to an earlier point. So this is due to the fact that quantum measurements are, in general, irreversible. So we can start to wonder, well, how can we do to do better than, well, the naive strategy of simply encoding each transmission into a quantum error correcting code for unidirectional data transmission. And the main ingredient is to use the teleportation protocol. So just a quick reminder in teleportation. So if Elias wants to transmit some state psi to Bob, but they only have access to shared entanglement and classical communication, well, they can still simulate quantum communication. So Alice will do so by taking the input state along with her share of the EPR pair, performing some Bell measurement. Then at this point, Bob's share of the EPR pair will be in state x to the x, z to the z, and psi. So Bob's share of the EPR pair at this point is just a psi up to some poly error. So if Alice transmits the result of the Bell measurement, Bob can then perform the appropriate decoding operation and get say psi as output. The important thing to notice here is that, well, even if this classical communication is noisy, well, what Bob will have at the end is still say psi up to some new poly error. Okay? The fact that poly error, well, form a group. So this is the main thing that we'll use for the interactive simulation. So let me recap what are the solutions to quantum simulation problems. So in the Cleaverman model, the main problem was that, well, quantum measurements are in general irreversible. So there's not much we can do about that except to make everything reversible. So we will replace all measurements by pseudo measurement, so their coherent variant. And then this is reversible. So we, in order to do that, we'll also have to replace this classical communication by quantum communication. And then, well, a protocol in the Cleaverman model essentially gets mapped to a protocol in the Yao model, except for this large entangled state at the beginning. But we'll be able to take account of that. So there's no problem there. And then in the Yao model, the big problem there was that, well, we don't want to destroy quantum information by sending it over a noisy quantum channel. So in order to avoid that, that's where we'll use a teleportation to avoid losing quantum information. So at this point, well, Alice and Bob will try to sequentially evolve the protocol by transmitting these with teleportation. And well, if there's no communication error over this classical communication, it's going to go well for them. But even if there is classical error, like what's going to be on the joint register A, C, and B is still a sequence of reversible operation. So it's going to be these noiseless protocol unitary, and maybe there's going to be some poly error in between them, but everything is still reversible. So at worst, they will have to like rewind previous unitary in order to go back and correct for some previous poly error. But everything is reversible, so going well. So the high-level structure of the simulation protocol is the following. So, well, if we're in the Yao model, in the noisy Yao model, Alice and Bob do not pre-share entanglement. So we'll start by distributing EPR pair. But this is a unidirectional like quantum data transmission problem. So we can use standard technique from quantum coding theory in order to do that. And then for the interactive part, Alice and Bob teleport back and forth. So we can use tool from classical interactive coding at this point. However, we can wonder, well, have we succeeded in reducing the quantum simulation problem to the classical one? And well, the answer is no. The reason for this is the following. So in classical interactive coding, the goal of Alice and Bob is mainly to agree on a transcript at the end. So as I said earlier, they will try to evolve the protocol following like the good path in the protocol tree. And if they agree on a transcript at the end, well, they can both compute their output from it. But here, even if Alice and Bob agree on some transcript at the end, this transcript is only going to contain like random teleportation measurement outcome. So we're not ensure that the protocol, like the quantum simulation, has succeeded. So we must still take care of some additional problems. So some further problems for quantum simulation are the following. So for quantum protocol, there's not this like protocol tree representation to synchronize on. So instead, Alice and Bob will have to try to synchronize on the sequential structure of the protocol, like evolve the sequence of unitaries. However, well, due to the no cloning theorem, they cannot, well, keep copy of previous state of the in the protocol. So whenever they realize that there's been some error in the teleportation, they will have to actively rewind previous unitary in order to get to the point where there's been some error. And in order to do that, well, they will have to once again actively teleport. So we'll have to limit the number of this backtracking operation in order for the simulation to succeed. And well, in order to do that, we developed a new bound on these classical tree codes. So that's mostly it. That's mostly what I want to say about this. So to summarize the result here, well, we've been able to show that communication complexity, quantum communication complexity, is robust under many different natural model of noise. So in the noisy analog to the Kleeberman model, in which party pre-share perfect entanglement but communicate over noisy classical channel, we get like positive communication rate. Similarly, when also the entanglement is noisy, and also in the noisy analog to the Yao model, when there's no pre-share entanglement but party communicate over noisy quantum channel. So in the model with perfect pre-share entanglement but noisy classical communication, we can tolerate the maximum possible error rate up to 1 alpha minus epsilon. So a lot of the technical part goes into achieving this result. So this requires a new bound on this classical tree code. And it also required the development of a new representation for quantum protocol, noisy quantum protocol, which is tight in some sense. And another surprising outcome of this is that, well, we're able to obtain simulation protocol with positive communication rate, even over some noisy quantum channel with zero standard quantum capacity. So this already proves some separation between the standard and the interactive quantum capacity of these channels. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, exactly. So we're using this implicitly here for like this interactive setting. So we're using the fact exactly, which was already known, that, well, for some channel, the one-way capacity can be zero while the two-way quantum capacity is zero. And we combine that with like a communication efficient, well, distillation procedure, because we don't want to spend too much communication for this backtracking. So somehow you require like some feedback. So for example, like for depolarizing channel, at the point where the quantum capacity is zero, well, if you send some feedback, you can improve that by somehow like performing entanglement distillation or things like that. But in this setting, we also do not want to spend too much communication like for this backtracking. So that's something that we have to take care of on top of it. But yeah, it's mostly using the fact that there's a separation between one-way quantum capacity and two-way quantum capacity. Exactly. Good. All right, so let me now go to the other part of the talk, focusing on quantum protocol compression and the new notion of quantum information complexity. So remember that classically we had this definition for information cost. So for some prior distribution mu over the input x and y and a protocol pi, the information cost was the sum of the mutual information between the protocol transcript pi and Alice's input x given Bob's input y plus symmetry taking on the other side. And we had like this list of desirable property that we wanted for information complexity. And we'll try to define a quantum information complexity that also has all of these property. So first potential definition for a quantum information cost would be given like this. So remember the setting for quantum communication complexity. So S and Bob are given some input x and y distributed according to some prior mu. So we might allow them to pre-share some entanglement psi, and then they want to compute some function f of their joint input. And once the protocol starts, well, they can exchange messages back and forth in order to output the function on each side. So these messages can be classical or quantum. So in the Yao model, we did not allow for pre-share entanglement, but once the protocol starts, these messages are quantum. In the Cleaverian model, well, we allow for arbitrary pre-share entanglement, but once the protocol starts, these messages are classical. And well, in what's going to be the most useful in like this information theoretic context is some hybrid of these two models. So we're going to allow for arbitrary pre-share entanglement and simultaneously for quantum communication here. Good. So if we directly generalize this information cost to the quantum setting, like remember that this protocol transcript here is just a sequence of messages m1 up to the final message. So we might try to do something similar quantumly. So define the quantum information cost for some protocol pi and prior mu like this. So it could be the mutual information between Alice input x and the sequence of messages in the protocol m1 up to mm given conditional on Bob's input y and shouldn't be any r there. Sorry about that. Plus similar thing on the other side. Well, this is not a good definition for information cost here. So there are many problems with it. First, well, in the Yao model, it's not even well defined. So due to the no cloning theorem, we cannot copy all of these messages. And then, well, there's no quantum notion of a protocol transcript that keeps like all of the quantum messages. But well, we can only evaluate information quantity on registers that are defined at the same moment in time. So well, the sequence of messages do not live at the same moment in time. So it's not even possible to evaluate this quantity quantumly in the Yao model. However, in the Cleaverman model, remember that the messages are classical. So well, this definition makes sense in the Cleaverman model. However, well, in the Cleaverman model, all of these messages could be completely uncorrelated to the input. Consider, for example, a protocol where Alice and Bob teleport back and forth. So at each time step, if you teleport, well, the messages you're going to send are completely uncorrelated to the input. Like the two bits that you send are uniformly random. So that, well, this quantum information cost in this context is going to evaluate to zero, since these messages are uncorrelated to your input. So potential solution to this problem would be as follows. So first, remember that, so if we look at this information cost once again, well, since classically we can copy messages, this protocol transcript is, you can evaluate it at the end. So you just keep a copy of the messages at each time step, and then at the end of the protocol, you can evaluate this. So if we try to do something similar quantumly, so along the protocol, just keep as much quantum information as possible, and then once the protocol ends, you could evaluate like the correlation between the input on one side and the remainder information on the other. But well, due to the fact that in quantum communication you have like reversible protocol, so you could have protocol that do not have any garbage at the end. So say for example you have input X, Y, and you use some shared entanglement psi, then you could run the protocol, and at the end what you get is still input X, Y, shared entanglement psi, but you also have the protocol output, so function f of X or Y. And then, well, such a notion of quantum information is then trivial in this sense. So for example, for a binary function, you could require a lot of communication in order to compute your function, but still this notion would be bounded by a constant, in this case one. So we do not want to have such a notion of quantum information cost, which is trivial. So another possible approach is, well, we could measure the correlation at each time step, and then, so remember that we said that messages can be completely uncorrelated to the input. But if we take messages in their context, then they can be good measure of correlation. So a possible definition for quantum information cost, which has successfully been used in the past, particularly by Jane Radhakrishnan and Sen, and also by Jane and Nayak, is similar to this. So you could sum over each run of the protocol and measure the mutual information between Alice's input and for IOD, you would measure this with compared to like the message that Alice is sending to Bob along with like Bob's quantum register. So this would take account of like previous quantum correlation, and you would condition on Bob's input. And this yields a sensible notion of quantum information cost. However, there's still a problem with it, is the fact that, well, if you have a protocol with many runs, say a protocol where there's m messages and total communication is c, this quantum information cost could be as high as the number of runs times the communication. And remember that one of the property that we want is that like information is a lower bound on communication. So we want quantum information cost to be bounded by the communication, independent of the number of round m. So the approach we took to define a new notion of quantum information cost is the following. So you can reinterpret the classical information cost in the following way. So you can view classical protocol in this way. So if Alice has input X, Bob has input Y, they have some pre-shared randomness R, and they also have some private randomness. So SA for Alice, SB for Bob. So then the protocol is just a sequence of messages exchanged between them. So Alice is going to send M1, then Bob sends back M2. But the process to generate these messages, you can view as a noisy channel, where the noise comes from the private randomness. Okay. So what do I mean by a noisy channel in this context? Remember that, well, the Shannon task for communicating over noisy channel was the following. So given some noisy channel, we want to use it to simulate the noiseless channel in some sense in order to transmit messages without errors. So this is the Shannon task. But we can consider the reverse Shannon task, which would be, well, trying to simulate noisy channel, but using a noiseless one. So this might seem like, well, something that pretty useless at first sight, but it actually has, well, many applications. For example, for proving strong converse theorem in information theory, or for rate distortion theory, and so on. And well, hopefully in the interactive code interview also. So let me formalize it a bit more, what I mean by this. So the reverse Shannon task is the following. So classically, Alice would have some input I for a channel M, but might have some side information S about the input. And then, well, we want to simulate the output of the channel M and like simulate transmitting this message to Bob. And we also want to have some feedback to Alice. So we also want Alice to keep a copy of the message. So in order to do that, well, how do we simulate this? So we might allow for Alice and Bob for share randomness. And what we want to do is minimize the communication cost here. So using share randomness, Alice can use some encoder, generate this message to send to Bob. And we also want as output to the encoder, like, well, a copy of the input, but that's not a problem classically. And we also want a copy of the message to stay at Alice's side. And then when Bob receives this message, using this message, the share randomness, and his side information S, we want him to decode this and obtain a copy of the message, the same one as Alice, hopefully, and also a copy of the side information. So there are already known asymptotic costs for implementing this. So for implementing many copies of this in parallel, the asymptotic cost is the mutual information between the channel output and the input condition on the side information S. So, well, taking this channel simulation view on classical communication complexity, we can rewrite the information costs in the following way. So it's just a sum of the asymptotic channel simulation costs. And well, we argue that this is a good operational measure of the amount of information that the protocol conveys. So this rewriting as a sum of the asymptotic channel simulation costs is exactly equal to the previous definition that we had. And well, it has the advantage of providing an alternate proof of the fact that information cost is equal to the asymptotic communication complexity. And well, that also extends to bounded route setting. And moreover, we can more easily adapt this view to quantum information complexity. So by taking the channel simulation view for a quantum protocol, we also have like asymptotic communication costs given by this quantum mutual information, conditional mutual information. And then we can define quantum information complexity as the sum over all channel simulation costs for all these rounds. And then we also get the operational interpretation of quantum information complexity as the amortized quantum communication complexity, that is, the communication complexity per copy for implementing many copies of the task in parallel. So, well, this quantum information complexity satisfies also all of the other property that we stated as desirable for information complexity. And also, well, by obtaining a single-shot protocol compression, this also leads to the first multi-round direct sum theorem. So a direct sum theorem states more or less that, well, if you want to implement a task T in parallel n times, you might as well do it like separately each time. You do not get any advantage in implementing them in parallel. All right, so I think, so this is a relatively young field, so there are many interesting open questions, both for, well, quantum information complexity and the noisy quantum communication complexity setting. So I think I should end there. Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah, sure. Pardon?
The one that you use in the direct sum.
So the compression protocol is actually like we use a so by taking this channel simulation view quantumly, like the quantum analog to this channel simulation task is quantum state redistribution. So equivalently, you can view channel simulation quantumly as a four-party task where, well, Alice is given two input system, like A and C, which are, well, actually the feedback from the channel and the channel output that she wants to send to Bob. Bob is given some side information B. And, well, these three systems are purified by some register R. And then, well, we're interested in how much communication it takes to transmit this to Bob when we have free entanglement. And asymptotically, this is given by this quantity, the conditional mutual information. And then, if you want to have like single-shot protocol compression, you actually one way to achieve that is, well, to compress each messages separately up to a cost proportional to this. So actually, we use a like single-shot protocol, well, message compression that derived with Mario Berta and Matthias Christendel that gives some term in terms of one-shot entropies, and then use the substate theorem to link these to turn proportional to this. But actually, the protocol is not so good. So in each round, you lose a factor of, like, if you want to achieve error epsilon in some round, you lose a factor of 1 over epsilon square. So that at the end, well, the old protocol compression depends a lot on the number of rounds of the protocol. So you can only use that if you have like a bounded number of rounds. And it decays really badly with the number of rounds. But that's the overall structure. So you compress each message separately, proportional to this cost. And yeah, exactly. Any other question? Thank you very much.